This commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, was contained in the Jewish covenant. But Jesus distinguished it from natural love by the qualification, as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So the love required is a sacrificial love, a self-giving love. This version of love also extends to our enemies and those who hate us. We Christians are so used to the above commandment that we think everyone else complies with its moral demands. But that is not the case. Did you know that 300 Christians die every month, 10 a day, simply because they are Christians? Where? In Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Somalia, Pakistan, Northern Africa? Who kills them? Extremist Muslims. Now I'm sure, however, that the majority of Muslims are not violent. But on the other hand, to say there are no extremists among Islam is naive. What is Islam? Anyway, Islam is an Arabic word meaning submission. Muslims submit to God, a number today about 1.8 billion, 25% of the planet. It is the second largest religion, just trailing Christianity. Where did it come from? And when? It was proclaimed by the Prophet Muhammad in the 6th century after Christ, who claimed to receive direct revelation from God, which he wrote down in Arabic in the Quran. It is asserted by Islam that their religion dates back to the very beginning with Adam, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. Muhammad, however, being the last prophet, the final word on what is the true religion and the will of God. Jews and Christians have diverged, they claim, from God's authentic word, and thus we are unfaithful or infidels. Islam is a basic monotheistic religion that believes in a heaven and a hell after death, salvation or damnation, according to how well you have complied with God's laws. So in that regard, it's somewhat like Judaism and Christianity. However, for them, God is not a father, but master of all, and we are his servants. Muslims, in fact, are insulted with our teaching of the Trinity that proclaims Jesus as Lord. How do you be a good Muslim? How do you live a good life? Well, they have their five pillars, or five basic doctrines. One is prayer and professing the faith. Muslims do that at the mosque on Fridays. Two, they have ritual prayers, which they say five times a day, facing east, Mecca. Three, they pay alms, so it's like a tax or for the poor and the needy. That's a good thing. Four, fasting. During the month of Ramadan, they fast from sunset to sundown. And five, if they can afford it, a pilgrimage to Mecca, called the Hajj. These are five good things. So why condemn Muslims? They are not to be condemned, but extremists are. Are they more aggressive than Christians? Sure, Islam has some violent extremists, but Christianity does too, some may say. But that's a superficial perspective of the whole issue. Note this. If a Christian kills in the name of Christ, he does so in total opposition to the teachings of Jesus, who said, love your neighbor as yourself. However, if a Muslim kills in the name of Allah, that means God in Arabic, he has full justification to do so from the life and teachings of Muhammad and from the Quran. Let's look at the founders of these two religions, Jesus and Muhammad. Muhammad was a polygamist with multiple wives, while Jesus lived a chaste, celibate life. Muhammad, in fact, had 11 wives altogether. He was married at one stage to 9 of them, and one was called Aisha, who was only 9 years old when he was in his 50s. Although most Muslims would not consider a 9-year-old daughter as a wife to someone, multiple wives are not uncommon among Muslims today. Now, when one reads the Quran, or the Hadith, or biographies of Muhammad, it becomes very clear that Muhammad was not a man of peace, as was Jesus. The Lord Jesus never killed anyone, and neither did any of his disciples. The story differs vastly with Muhammad. He was a political ruler and a military commander. Now, Muhammad's religious career is often divided into two periods, the Meccan period, 13 years, and the Medina phase, which is the last 10 years of his life, 622 to 632. In this last phase, he wrote much in the Quran about the enemies of Islam and prescribes jihad against them. Altogether, there are about 100 passages in the Quran which speak of the use of force and the sword to combat your enemies. Prior to that, there's about 120 verses regarding peace and tolerance. So he has both sides of the camp, one might say. The barbaric practice of beheading infidels is not just something we see on YouTube or the TV today by extremist terrorists. It is in fact noted in the Quran. Quote, "When you meet the unbelievers in the battlefield, strike off their heads." From the Shura 47 verse 4. The very next verse assures those who have died while fighting for Allah that they will be taken up into paradise for their martyrs. According to the earliest biography of Muhammad, he was involved in some 84 battles in the last decade of his life. He was present for 27 of these, and in fact fought in 9 of them. So quite unlike Jesus, Muhammad was certainly a man of war. And revenge, not forgiveness, was the order of the day. For he declared, "If God gives me victory in Quraysh in the future, I will mutilate 30 of their men." So much for turning the other cheek, as Jesus taught. Muhammad preached death to the infidels, while Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The disciples of Muhammad killed for the faith, while the disciples of Jesus were killed for their faith. Islam has grown over the centuries by armed conquest. In the first reading, we hear of a great city called Antioch. That is where the followers of Jesus were first called Christians. It's one of 5 centers or cradles of Christianity, beginning with Jerusalem, then Antioch, and Alexandria, Constantinople, that's today Istanbul, then Rome. Islam is an unjust aggressor. In the 7th century, invaded and still controls all but one of these countries. That's Rome. All these countries were once Christian. Now, there are few or no churches or faithful present. Furthermore, when we attend Mass on Friday to honour the patroness of Australia, let us not forget that the title Mary, Help of Christians, was coined after the naval battle of Lepanto in the 16th century, the largest naval battle in human history. Against whom? Muslims, who were attempting to invade Europe by sea. The heroism of those sailors and much prayer saved us then. Again, Muslim armies tried to take Christian Europe in the 17th century at the Battle of Vienna, and would have succeeded if not for the valiant Poles. But what about the Crusades when Christians invaded Palestine, one may ask? The purpose of the Crusades, the initial ones, were not to invade, but to liberate the holy shrines and sites in the Holy Land so that Christians could safely go there on pilgrimage. It is granted that the latter Crusades were not honourable or without atrocity. But note that such men were not acting in accord with Christian teaching, love your neighbour. Muslims, however, when they invade or act with unjust aggression, are imitating their founder and are acting in accord with their supposed holy book. That is not to say every Muslim is violent. No, no, no. The vast majority of them are good living people, I'm sure. But you only need 1% of a billion people to be extremist to create havoc in the world, as is the case in Northern Africa or Pakistan. So we ask Mary, our mother, help of Christians, to help us remain faithful to her son and daily pray the rosary, which has defended and saved us in the past, and so to help us today to love our neighbour.